Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Your number one job. Your number one job when you come into the kingdom of God is to not become holy. Your number one job is to learn how to flow with Him. I said your number one job is to learn how to flow with Him. He's already made you holy. You know, guys, I grew up in church my whole entire life. And not one single person ever told me that. It's hard to, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but at a certain point, you're kind of done trying to be. And, you know, like me, I got to a certain age and said, I'm out of here. Didn't go back for a number of years. But the Spirit of the Lord never left me. All the things I went through as a young dude, I tried to screw it up a few times for him. But I failed. Thank the Lord. But we have to understand from His vantage point, He's already seen you before you were ever on the planet. I stood on my wedding day. And my wife, you know, if you've ever met her, she kind of likes to do things different. Well, she decided it was going to be a good idea for us to face the audience. She said, I didn't get all gussied up like this to everybody look at the back of my head. So we faced the audience, but the pastor that married us happened to be her father. And right in the middle of the wedding, the Holy Spirit decides it's a good idea to give a prophetic word. That was a new one. Never seen that one before. But he basically said, you know, both of you have been on a journey and you've had some challenges. But my hand has been on you. We get so locked into the natural stuff that we forget there's a vantage point that's beyond yours. And every human being that is breathing He has a desire to show them who they really are. So your responsibility when you come into the kingdom of God is to learn how to flow with Him. I know there are some that would like to have another option. But there is no other option. I mean, you can live out of your own head and you can decide, you know what, I like the way I think. But you're never going to experience Him the way you read. And don't you get tired of just reading about Him? You know, we say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we don't act that way, because what you read is him leading people on a real-time basis. He wants to develop us in that arena, experiencing him on a daily basis. Do we need the Word of God? Yes, we do. But you're not, if you look down at the end of your body, you don't just have one leg. You got two. Can you imagine how miserable it would be just to hop around on one leg all the time? You wouldn't get very far fast, would you? But see, he's given you his Word, and he's also given you his Spirit who wrote the Word. And the Holy Spirit of God was given to you so that you'll learn how to not lean to your own understanding. You know, we say, amen, praise the Lord, but we still do. And I just think, frankly, it's just because we just haven't grown in those areas. We're not familiar with them. I mean, we get more comfortable with God in the way he spells his name. We like to read about him on print. But there's a real person behind that word. And he wants you to learn how to step with him. When he says go right, you go right. When he says go left, you go left. We're going to get into our series this morning on authentic community. And my prayer is the Spirit of God will open up the eyes of your vantage point and you'll see things from his vantage point. The last 3 or 4 weeks we've talked about the reason why God gave us what the Bible calls praying in tongues. You know, I grew up in mainline churches and nobody ever talked about that. And then once I came over and got exposed to it, and I still didn't really know what it was. I knew all the scriptures because that's all they ever tell you. But I just come to the place where I said, you know what, if that's for me, I'm tired of the devil robbing me for what's mine, so I'm taking it. Still didn't really know what it was. So we've spent the last 3 or 4 weeks, I can't go back into all of it. But I will say this, that the Spirit of God brought out some things the last 3 or 4 weeks that I can honestly say no one has ever taught me. But it's something that every single human being that's breathing needs to know. You are a spirit. You don't have one. You are one. You were designed to live from that place all the days of your life. In saying that, you were also designed to be able to communicate and get communication straight from the Spirit of God in your spirit, unhindered and unhampered by your own rational thought process. In doing that, you have to be able to interact with him without blame being in your soul. You know, some people think that the closer you get to God, the more guilty you get, the more guilty you feel, the more you get noticed of all of your your deficiencies. Well, those people have never been around him. They've been around theology, but they've never been around him. Because he wants to make it to where you come to the place where in his presence you have zero blame. Now, I'm not talking about if you're missing it and you're out of step with him. He wants to bring conviction. I'm not talking about that. It's a shame I even have to bring that up. What I'm talking about is somebody who the loudest thing in their soul is their own thoughts about themselves. And they're completely contrary to the way the creator of the universe thinks about you. So he has to get you to a place where you think blameless. And then you have to get to the place where you execute the greatest commandment. Or the second one, I should say that. The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. The second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. The problem is we do. Because we don't spend enough time with Him. Because He wants to get you to a place. In fact, just go over to Jude. I might as well jump in here at some point. Jude, verse 20. Sorry, I'm jotting a note down while I'm talking to you. I can multitask. Jude chapter 20. It says, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's praying out of your spirit. That's what the Bible calls in the book of Acts, praying in tongues. Keep yourself in the love of God. Notice it says when you pray out of your spirit, you keep yourself in the love of God. What does the love of God produce in your life? Well, the very next verse says it gives you the ability to stand in His presence blameless. Folks, we've got to come to the place where, and I love reading books, and it's just, you know, as a short commercial. In the coming weeks, I've got a number of books that I'm going to put out in the foyer there, and they're just yours to take. You can have them all. They are used. They were donated, but you can have all of them, because whatever you don't take, I'm taking to Goodwill. But once those are gone, we're going to set up basically a reading library of every book that up to this point in our journey the Spirit of God has impressed us to read, that will take us into the foundation and into the future that where He's trying to take us. There may be books there that there may not be books there that you think should be there, but the reason they're not there is because that's not where we're going. You said, Dan, you sound pretty serious. I am. Because there are a lot of voices out there. Not that they have bad things to say. But they're not going where we're going. So it's important that we get the voice of the Lord for this church. And walk where this church is supposed to go. Because He's taking this church someplace. So we're going to have books out there. You can check them out and keep them for as long as you want. I'm only going to have two copies of each one for now, so don't hold them for 8 months at a time. But I encourage you to get those and get that stuff in you. But don't just get it in you so you can collect theology. Folks, I'm so done with that. Give me a break. I know folks that can tell you every single book they've read and everything they've read in those books, but it hasn't done squat for them. I love books, but that's all history. He didn't create you to be a historian. He created you to be an explorer. And quite frankly, if all we do is read books our whole life, you've wasted your whole life. Because you're still going to get into heaven. You're going to be shocked at what you see and what you've learned. Because you never spent time with the one you're looking at right then. You spent time with the page. There are things that He wants to show you of who He is that you're never going to learn if you never step out and walk. So the Word of God says in Jude, the best way to start that journey is to build yourself on your most holy faith. praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God so that He creates an ability for you to be able to stand in His presence blameless. And guess what? When you can stand in His presence blameless, then someone else can stand in your presence blameless. He has to get the blame, the urge to have to blame somebody out of your thought process. It's not somebody else's issue. It's not somebody else's fault. If He can remove those things out of your thought processes, out of your emotions, now you're qualified to be able to intercede for the world. Because you won't pay attention to all of the deficiencies. If the world knew what you were doing, if they knew that the church was praying for them from their deficiencies, they would beg you to stop. Because we're not helping them. Let me show you what I mean. I've jumped like way forward, but for the sake of time, yeah, you know, who cares? I want to show you something that's very interesting. As review, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely." And everybody say sanctify. Praying with the Holy Spirit. I love the way this. Set you apart or sanctify you. I love the word set you apart. May your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved complete. What's the next two words? Is anybody paying attention? Without blame. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. Again, I'm going to reiterate this. The word peace there is actually a carpentry word. How many of you have ever seen a fine piece of furniture? The drawers in that fine piece of furniture, the corners are joined together. They call it a miter. I think it's a dovetail, yeah. To where you really can't tell where one piece starts, one piece ends. That word peace is actually the word that means that. So what is God saying to us? He's saying that He's the God that fuses you with Him. See, religion does its hardest to keep you separated so that it can manipulate you in your emotions and your thought processes and steer you. But Father, through Jesus, He didn't mess around. The plan has always been to fuse the being of a human being with the being of God and make them one. The Word of God says, now if you'll acknowledge and you'll realize that Jesus really is who He says He is, then what He did for the entire human race is He paid the lien that was against the human race. And when He was raised from the dead, He raised the entire human race up and seated you next to Him in heavenly places. So you can literally sit from your seat, look down the row and see your brother Jesus and your Father God. But He needs you to understand that your job once you're in the kingdom is to learn how to think like He does, see things like He does, speak like He does, think about yourself and other people like He does. He wants to set you apart entirely, your spirit, your soul, and your body preserved complete without blame, all the way up to the coming of the Lord. And He says, faithful is He who called you, and He will bring it to pass. I made this statement last week, and by the way, I would encourage you, go on the website and listen to the other three or four messages. I know I say that all the time, but I bet you if I had a show of hands right now and asked how many listened to the message last week, we might have one person maybe, or the last two or three weeks. But I challenge you to listen to them over and over again, because I promise you the Spirit of God is not done teaching you yet. If we really believe that what we get here on Sunday morning is from Him and not just from me, we'll value it and we'll revisit it until it becomes us. Amen? So I made this statement last week. Prayer walking cultivates our grace awareness. And I told you, I made this statement, that depending on where you're from and your upbringing, you're going to read that statement maybe a slightly different way. Some people will read that statement and they'll say, yes, amen. The more I spend time with God in prayer, the more I realize that He really shouldn't love me at all. But I'm so glad He does. That's not what that statement is saying. What that statement is actually saying is pointing to the fact that the more you spend time in your prayer life and praying out of your spirit, the book of Acts calls it praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 calls it praying in tongues. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all do, and I've come to realize this, that the way the track is laid is I pray out of my spirit and I pray with my mind engaged. I do both. Because you'll get direction from your spirit and your mind, and He wants you to declare those things out. We're going to get into some of the reasons why that is, right, this morning. But what this statement is actually saying is prayer walking cultivates our grace awareness. We went through a number of scriptures, Ephesians 3:7, where Paul points out that when he talks about grace, what he's talking about is the presence and power of God in him and upon him. How many knew that verse was already in your Bible? In another place, he talks about it like this, to his letter to the pastor of the church in Ephesus, 100,000 people. They didn't meet in a Colosseum. May God's grace empower you always. By the way, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. 2 Timothy 2:1, he says this. He says, live your life empowered by God's free-flowing grace. 2 Timothy 4:22, he's still telling Timothy, the anointing of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit, and grace overflow to you. I could go on and on. Galatians 6:18, he says, may the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, be flowing in your spirit. See, the grace of God is not what God has towards you. The grace of God is what He does through you. The grace of God is speaking about His presence in you, upon you, and the power that is resulting because of that. Folks, I grew up in church my whole life, and not one single person ever told me that. So when you read this statement, that prayer walking cultivates our grace awareness. What it's actually saying is the more you prayer walk, the more you walk and spend time with the Lord, the more you pray out of your spirit, the more you realize there's a release of His presence and the working of His power that flows from that union. Because quite frankly, in Galatians 1:16, he says, it's God's grace unveiled His Son to me. God's grace, you know, when we talk about by His grace you're saved, that's not exactly how it reads, to be honest with you. It says, by His grace you are, having been saved. So it kind of screws up traditional Christianity's definition of what grace is. When they define grace, they're not talking about His power and His presence. They're talking about His mercy. That's not what grace is. When Paul talked about it, he was talking about His presence and His power. Grace unveiled His Son in me. How many know Paul didn't have the ability to know who Jesus was until the revelatory power of the Spirit of God revealed that He is who He says He is? Notice the result of that. It says, grace unveiled His Son in me so that I would proclaim the message of sonship. He revealed His Son, His presence, His power, His Spirit. The result of that is for me to proclaim that same message of sonship. In another place in Galatians, he said, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts. I wonder that we've had so many challenges acting like grown-up kids with an understanding that grace is mercy, because that's what a servant understands him to be. Yes, we serve our Father, but we are sons and daughters. And the only way you're going to realize that you're sons and daughters, if you'll read your New Testament, is you have to walk with Him. You have to experience Him. You have to explore Him and let Him reveal things to you on an experiential nature, because He's created for you to learn about Him experientially, and He'll confirm what He's telling you, that you're His son and His daughter. Just as much by what you experience walking with Him as you do read and print. You have to read print. Don't you dare go throw your Bible out the window. Well, I got some stories for you about that. If you throw your Bible out the window, you're going to get all wacky. And you're going to get a spirit of stupid on you. But you're also going to get a spirit of arrogance, and you're also going to think that you got some inside revelation that nobody else has got. And it completely violates the Spirit of God. We need the Word, but we need the Spirit to shine a flashlight on the Word. Notice what He says in Galatians 2:20, "The Anointed One lives His life through me. We live in union as one. My life is empowered." Everybody say empowered. He dispenses His life into mine. Now, I'm going to jump forward and show you some things, and I realize in my notes I'm taking a big leap here. But do you remember when we opened up and it said that God is able to make you stand holy and blameless? Last week we made this statement that the Spirit of God is saying it's time for us to change the atmosphere and the focus from being on us to being on Him. I say it like this before we think we know what we're talking about here. The reason that statement came out is because if you'll notice, traditional Christianity, when they define grace, they always define grace with them standing in the middle of the circle. It's always about, they say, well, no, it's not. It's about how he didn't give me what I deserved. Did you mention the word I there? So you're in the middle of the circle. That's why the definition just got all screwed up. But it's time for us to focus on, it's all about Him. It's all about His presence. It's all about His power. It's all about His vantage point, His perspectives, His perceptions. In the book of Acts chapter 2, it says, when the early church began, they came together regularly for prayer, and they had a deep sense of holy awe that swept over them. Notice the connection between their focus and their prayer life. In Acts chapter 4, they came out from being told from the religious establishment that you're never supposed to speak the name of Jesus ever again. You can almost hear the conversations on the way back to their group on that one. The first thing they prayed was, listen to the threats that harm us and empower us to speak your word freely and stretch out your hand to heal. 1 Timothy, the Spirit of God says that he wants you to pray with gratitude to God. Everybody say gratitude. I mean, you can't pray with gratitude to God if you've got blame in your soul. If you've got blame or offense in your soul, you're not going to pray with gratitude to God. But He's speaking of someone who has done the Word and lives out of their spirit, prays in their spirit, is able to stand in His presence holy and blameless. He says, pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayer. So that means you're praying for all men with that same gratitude, right? Intercede with intense passion. Therefore, I encourage the men to pray with every occasion. I'm skipping over to the highlighted parts. Hands lifted to God, worship clean hearts, free from frustration or strife. I mean, we're still praying for all men. Free from frustration and strife. And then it says women also pray with clean hearts. How many know we have to live blameless and without offense to do that? How many know the only way you're going to do that is to pray out of your spirit? It's not a hobby, folks. It's not what you do on Sunday morning during part of worship. It's part of your whole life. You have more power than you've built into your life. You've built your life habits around. You have more power. Say that. I have more power than I've built my life habits around. Let's say it again. I have more power than I've built my life habits around. Did you know that the dust of the ground was always designed to be one with the Spirit of God? You ever thought about it? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth was formless and void, darkness over the surface of the deep. Who was there? The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was. God said, and there was. The very next thing he did, well, down the road, he formed man out of the what? You're one big old dirt bag. All those things people said about you, they were true. You are a dirt bag. The Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Do you think that life was somewhere separate from the Spirit of God? No. So from the very beginning, dirt was meant to be saturated with the Spirit of God. Your Bible says that 1 Corinthians 8:6, that through whom, speaking of the Lord Jesus, we and all things exist. Colossians 1:15-17, he says this, he is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, speaking of Jesus. He's the firstborn heir, everybody say heir, of all creation. For the Lord created everything both in the heaven realms and on the earth, all that's seen, all that's unseen, every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority. It was all created by him and for him. Verse 17. He existed before anything was made. So, what do you do? Everything finds its completion in him. Now, I've read that verse for many, many years. And I can honestly tell you, I thought I knew what it said. Theologically, it could say a number of things. But I want to show you what it actually says experientially. Everything existed before. He existed before anything was made, so he made everything. How many know if he made everything, he knows everything's end? He knows the purpose, he knows how they're, he knows the use of every single human being, he knows their end, he knows what he's called them to do, he knows their life assignment, he knows where they'll best stand and experience the blessing of his Father. He knows the giftings that he's put on the inside of them. He sees those giftings completely developed 100% and where that carries that individual into the future. Does anybody else know that? No. So who's the best qualified to speak into your life? Him. And every human being that's breathing, he's the best qualified to speak into their life. Notice it said that Jesus was the heir of all creation, right? Well, as the heir, he is also a good steward. Notice what he did in Luke 22. Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Now, this is before he went to the cross. Let me ask you a question. Was Peter born from above yet? No. He was as natural of a dude as you can get. Notice what Jesus says to him. My dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan has demanded to come and sift you like wheat and test your faith. So if you don't walk with me, he's going to do it. And woe is you. Is that what he said? No, you're looking at my slide. That's not what that slide says. That's right. That's not what it says. I was just seeing if you were paying attention. He said, I've prayed for you. Everybody say, I've prayed for you. Jesus prayed for him. Notice what Jesus says as a result of Jesus praying for Peter. He says, I've prayed that you'd stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this, after you've been turned back to me and have been restored. Notice he didn't say, if you are. I'm hoping you do. He has some pretty good confidence in what he prays. But did you realize that what he just did was steward over his inheritance? Hebrews 7:25, I can't turn there for the sake of time, but plus I don't have a slide. But Hebrews 7:25 says this, that he ever lives to make intercession for every human being that's breathing. And he is talking about every human being that's breathing. If you go back and look at the context, he is talking about that. Let me ask you a question. Is every human being his inheritance? So he's willing to steward his inheritance by praying over them. The world doesn't even know that. But hold on to your hat. He also said that you are co-heirs together with him. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. This is him. His another example of him stewarding his inheritance. So that he might set her apart, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself to church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. What's he doing? He's stewarding his inheritance. Since we've been made joint heirs, we should steward what we have through prayer. See, your prayer life's not an option. We read that scripture, when he comes back, will we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, part of being a good and faithful servant is stewarding what you are left. He left you the world and the fullness thereof. And if he's going to steward over his inheritance, he wants us to steward over our inheritance that we are co-inheritors with him in. We should steward what we have through prayer, setting it apart, seeing its design value, and not holding it to its sin. Notice what Jesus said here. I'm going to close in a minute. Notice what Jesus said here in John 20. This is after his resurrection. It says, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. What's he saying? He ain't talking about having a good feeling in your heart. He's talking about you need to come to the realization that you're one spirit with my Father now. You're fused together, him and you together. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, now that looks awful familiar, doesn't it? Didn't he do that originally? He's taking that dirt and fusing the Spirit of God back into it again. But notice what he says as a result of that. This is what you're supposed to do. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain, everybody say retain. If you retain the sins of any, they've been retained. I want you to have this thought. How many have ever heard someone say when a disaster hits a country or hits our nation specifically, that it's God judging America? I hate to say this, but the person that said that is the very reason that we're seeing those things happen. You say, well, why do you say that? Because Jesus says if we retain the sins of any, they're retained. The Word of God says that all of creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. So why do we keep giving them the manifestations of the sons of men? See, every time we pay attention to somebody's deficiencies and somebody's sins, and that's all we do is point to that, point to that, point to that, you're basically retaining them to their sin. And all of earth is going to react and groan, and it's going to cause these upheavals and these things to happen. Maybe these things are happening because the church has not realized that Jesus told you, as dirt saturated with the Spirit of God, you're not supposed to retain somebody's sins to them. Set them free. You say, well, I don't know if I have that much power. Well, I don't know about that, because 1 Timothy 4:5 says this. All that we eat, how many know that's probably made of dirt? Right? All that we eat is made sacred or set apart or sanctified by the Word of God and what? So do you suppose that if Jesus is ever living to make intercession for his inheritance, and what he's interceding is Ephesians, he refuses to see them spot and wrinkled and blamed. So much so that Hebrews says, I think it's in chapter 11, I think it says that chapter 10, the end of chapter 10, it says when he comes back, he won't even have sin on the mind. Do you suppose that when he opens his mouth and he prays things, that what he's actually doing is setting people apart, separated, shielded from the desires of darkness? This verse is saying you have the same power. He's given you the same inheritance that he is. We can't say, praise the Lord, we're co-inheritors with him, but then we don't take any responsibility. What would happen if everywhere you go, and I don't usually do this again, in this slide you see the, in parentheses, it's present tense, passive tense, and in the indicative, it's just notes from my Greek. Sometimes I can't help myself. But what that's essentially saying, that every time you open your mouth and you begin to pray, that on an ongoing, constant basis, the object of your prayer is receiving, being set apart. What would happen in this society if we were good stewards of our responsibilities, and we took our stewardship of our inheritance seriously like our brother did, and we began to pray everywhere we were, we began to pray for the people we came in contact with, to set them apart from the desires of Satan that wants to sift them like wheat and destroy them. See, when I read those verses that say all things were created by him, and they find their completion in him, that speaks something different to me now. What that speaks to me is Jesus ever living to intercede, the only one that knows every human being's in from the beginning. He's declaring over them the will of God. He wants to declare over them the will of God, the plans of the Father. But you're in the kingdom. He made you a co-heir. He needs you to do that. Because that's how our steward of an inheritance acts. So when he told Timothy to pray for every human being, pray for all men. He was simply telling him, train people to be a good steward over their inheritance. My question for you, and I believe his question for you, is, are you up for it? Because that's what authentic community is all about. Don't answer this question, but just kind of use it as a self-checklist. How many prayed for anybody in this church this week without having to be initiated? I said, don't raise your hand. How many have sent somebody in this church an encouraging word, something the Spirit of God laid on your heart, to lift up and encourage somebody in this church this week? That's authentic community. That's called being a good steward over your inheritance. Folks, I know sometimes when I talk like this, maybe I'm sounding a little hard. I'm not trying to come off hard. If you know me, you know I'm not doing that. But at the same time, it's time that we forget about playing church. We're not here just to feel good. And I hope you're not here because this is the safest place for you to go. Because this church doesn't exist so you can have someplace comfortable to run to. This church exists because the Spirit of God has an assignment for this church, for this city, for this nation, for this world. So every time we get together, He's going to be challenging us. Will you let me bring you into the fullness of who I say you are and who I see you as? But more importantly, once I show you who you are, will you allow me to take you into that, and will you walk where I show you to walk? Because He needs you to be a steward in your prayer life, not just for one another, but for everybody that you meet out there at Home Depot, Circle K, any place you go. Because if we're not doing that, why are we here? You have to ask yourself that. If we're not willing to walk there, why are we here? But if we're willing to do that, I'm telling you, He's going to take you to a place in your life that you never knew existed. He told you that a number of weeks ago. He's going to develop things in you that you didn't even know were in there. And that person you thought you were, you'll find out that wasn't who you were at all. That's who you settled into. But He's ready to raise up thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that are so hungry for the Spirit of God, so willing to walk where He says, so willing to not have to know, to be comfortable in order to step out in this city. But He wants it to start with you. Are you up for it? One person is. Well, honey, if you're listening to this message, understand that every second of every day, Jesus is ever praying for you. But He wants that prayer life to flow into you, through you, for the world. When was the last time, I'm done, y'all can stand up. I could go on forever, but you can just stand up. When was the last time you walked up to a total stranger and just looked him in the eyes and told him just the most basic thing? I got to tell you, I don't know if you knew this or not, but God absolutely thinks you're the most amazing person. Jesus thinks you're like the apple of His eye. You ever done that? Well, that'll jerk the slack out of me. Exactly. It's exactly. See, I even messed up the piano player. That's exactly the point. There is no other track, guys. Everybody keeps trying to look around for something different. Well, I want another option. I don't like that one. Well, you might as well just die and go to heaven. Because there is no other option. But I don't know about you. I want to get there and hear him say, well done. Not, well, you're done. We've got to get serious, folks, about stewarding our stewardship, our inheritance. Our inheritance is this city. Our inheritance is every person you see breathing out there. And I promise you, if they haven't met you, they haven't met Jesus. Don't go pick up another book, because that's safe. Get out there and talk to a live, breathing human. Because it's not God's will for this to stay this way. Might as well just bring it in. Let's be real. This is not His will. Everybody say that. This is not His will. You ever jump into a cold pool? Just jump in. That's what you need to do. Just go out and talk to somebody. Just get it over with. Otherwise, your mind will be like, and it'll just be worse. Just get out there and just get it over with. And the more you do it, you'll actually find, man, I love this. I made myself go to every single store in a mall one time because I don't want to talk to people ever. So I made myself go into every single store and start up a conversation with every single person running those stores because it's a captive audience. Where they're going to go, they can't leave. It's their store. They have to stay there. So I made myself until it was so comfortable for me to do that I moved on to other things. Some of you need to start there. You have no other reason to breathe than that. He has such awesome plans for you. Stop holding on to the wall. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just love you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for giving us, like the disciples prayed in Acts chapter 4, we ask you for supernatural boldness. We thank you that we already have it because your presence and your power are in us and upon us. And I thank you for an increase of that presence, an increase of that power. We're not satisfied to just live in theory anymore. But the only way we're going to move out of theory into experience is to get out there and live life with you in the moment, every moment. Open your mouth. You said you'd fill it if we did. So we just ask that you'd fill it. I believe everybody in this room has such a desire in their heart to develop in these areas. Father, there's not one single person in this room that doesn't want to end up where you want to take them. In fact, why don't you say this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm that good steward of my inheritance. I'm that good steward of your inheritance. Today begins a new day for the rest of my life. Saturate this dirt with your spirit. And I thank you that you'll do that. In Jesus' name. You believe that? You realize you just set yourself apart. Folks, you need to understand, every time you open your mouth in prayer, you are setting somebody apart. Don't ever lose sight of that, and do it all the time. No wonder the Spirit of God says, always be praying. Jesus paid the price. The whole entire world is His. He needs us to set that world apart so that the powers of darkness don't just begin to sift it and rip it apart. Well, I haven't said that. I just said, have a good week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.